Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He's an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, you and I chat about a wide range of sectors, usually on our calls, and that's actually something that we are going to do again on this interview, starting with rare earth elements. Now, there has been, a renewed focus in rare earth elements, again, a lot around, I believe, more North American companies, or at least plays in North America, because of the general move of countries trying to secure at least some domestic supply. We even had some very interesting news that came out of the U.S. Department of Energy around rare element resources, which really popped the stock. Sean, give us a little rundown and background on what you think of the rare earth elements sector currently.
Sure. Well, one thing people have to understand is we can see a big trend in here, just like we did in the battery metals. We can see this tremendous supply-demand imbalance just building. For example, the global rare earth energy industry, it's expected to nearly double from 2018 to 2025, from about 8.1 billion to 14.4 billion. And people also have to understand that rare earths are used in all sorts of modern technologies, not only your cell phones, but also electric vehicle motors, windmills, jets, missiles. That's why the Pentagon is so interested in establishing a U.S. supply chain, because even the rare earths that are mined in the U.S. today in California have to be shipped to China for processing. We don't have a processing plant here. The Pentagon says this is no good. China really has this in a really tight spot if they decide to squeeze us on this. So they're throwing money at the problem, trying to establish a U.S. rare earth industry. We used to have one. In fact, we were once the biggest producer of rare earths. And then China came along and undersold everybody and drove the other companies into bankruptcy. Now they're thinking about some kind of protected industry status, much like they're doing with uranium. They know we need domestic uranium production, or at least we need production from friendly nations close to us, you know, so that would also include Canada. But so that's the thing that's kind of driving things. Now, people should also understand, yes, there are 17 rare earth elements. They aren't earths. They're like metals. They aren't rare, except finding them in a deposit that's actually economically feasible to produce is the real trick, because while they're scattered all over the place, they don't tend to come in huge lumps. There are heavy rare earths. There are light rare earths. What the market tends to fixate on are what are called the magnet feed rare earths. And these are critical for high-performance magnets used in cell phones, electric vehicles, wind turbines, as I said. So you'll see people speaking about those deposits. So that's really what people tend to be most interested in. China does have most of the known rare earth reserves, but the emphasis is unknown. We haven't been looking for these things for a while, and there's plenty of upside exploration, a potential in North America, and certainly with the Pentagon very interested in this, there's a chance for these small companies to get big infusions of cash. And so as investors, that's why we find it so interesting.
So, Sean, it's something that you and I were talking about off mic is when we drive down into broadly the rare earth stock universe, there are some companies, a number of companies actually, that are more these trend followers that enter these hot sectors, raise some money on the back of it. You do sometimes see the share price move higher, but quite frankly, these companies are not actually building any sort of solid asset, and probably when the interest wanes a little bit in the sector, move on to another sector. What are some of the company characteristics that you're focused on for this relatively smaller world of companies when it comes to rare earth elements?
Right. I'm not looking for those that are pure explorers that don't really have an asset yet. I'm looking at the ones that they know they have a deposit They just need to do more drilling and like figure out how best to economically develop it. And there are only a handful of like those around, and some are kind of odd. Let's use one example. Energy Fuels is a U.S. uranium miner, right? But it's been approached by several people, including the U.S. government, to process uranium bearing rare earth elements at its White Mesa mill. And so as a result, Energy Fuels says we can bring rare earth element production back to the U.S. And so it has this a pilot project, and it's actually going to have, well, not ore, it's actually sand to work with. That's part of the weird thing about it, is it isn't like other kind of mining, really. And so that confuses a lot of people. So this is a company kind of taking the back approach, but at least it has something. Any company has to have a real thing, and not just a piece of land that it says might have rare earths on it in order for me to be interested. But the interesting thing is how you're seeing money come out of the Pentagon, like we just saw with rare element resources. There is money coming out of the Pentagon. Follow that money and see who's connected to it. And, you know, that's kind of telling you if they can't get money out of the Pentagon, like within the next year, then they're probably not going to be a player in this space, because the Pentagon is desperate to have a rare earth production chain in the U.S., you know, not only mining, but also processing and more. And it needs that here. So it is going to be spreading money around. And as some money comes out, you know, more money is going to follow, because, you know, they've already invested in this somewhat and they'll need more money. So they're going to invest more again. So keep those things in mind. I think that would really be helpful.
Okay, a couple of things to consider. And again, for me at least, it's all about avoiding some of these companies that really are just into the sector for a short period of time. So to your point, make sure that they have some sort of asset and a reasonable plan. Sean, let's also talk about the oil sector, because oil has gone through a nice run higher. And in the face of a lot of people saying, look, oil should be weak and the price is going to drop. We heard all that when oil was trading in the low 40s. Now oil's in the low 50s, right around $53 a barrel. Personally, I haven't seen a massive or corresponding move in the broad oil stocks. Maybe investors are distracted by all this clean tech and clean energy initiatives, but fact of the matter is, the oil price has been and continues to be stronger than most people think. What's your takeaway from the oil sector?
Yeah, and especially when we have nations like Saudi Arabia actually cutting on their own, you know, because they want to prop up the market. I think things look quite good. We saw a bunch of oil companies slash dividends, and that ticked off a bunch of investors, and I don't blame you. I got ticked off too. Or at least, well, I was actually able to get out of the most of them before they slashed. But many of them overcut. I can tell you, with the cash flow they have coming in now, they can easily pay their dividends. And what's more, they can probably raise them, you know, which is probably going to be their next step. So I think the next thing we're going to see in the oil industry is, among the good stocks, the ones you should be investing in, you're going to be seeing dividends get raised. And so now would be a good time to position yourself ahead of that, because the oil industry isn't going away. Electric cars are such a small part of the market. People are going to need gasoline and all the other stuff oil goes into for a very, very long time, and it isn't going to go away. So when things get sold off like this, this is when people who want to find bargains, and they say, oh, I want to buy things when they're cheap. Well, select oil stocks are cheap right now. That's something you should be looking at.
Is there jurisdiction that you're looking at? Is it Canadian plays? Is it U.S. plays? Is it anything else that you find a sweet spot in for oil companies?
I own just U.S. companies now, but I'm looking at Canadian plays because they've been beaten down, and like many things in Canada, get no respect. You know, they have a perfectly fine business up there. It's hard to figure out sometimes. Sometimes I'm afraid to buy things when they're that cheap because I say, well, there must be something wrong that I'm just too stupid to see. But on the other hand, maybe there are just really good bargains in Canada. So I might be buying some up there.
Okay. And Sean, to my first point when I brought in the oil discussion, do you think investors are broadly distracted because clean energy has moved so much higher and those stocks have moved higher that they've largely or in a sense forgotten about the oil sector?
Yeah, I think things get hot for a while. Certainly, clean energy did very well for my subscribers. I mean, and we still own some of those stocks. We haven't taken gains on all of them, but the ones we own are quiet now. Where did that money go? I think it's going into Bitcoin now. God help us all. That seems to be the flavor of the month. But you know what? That'll blow over in their faces sooner or later, and so then they'll go back to something else. At some point, money is going to rotate back into oil stocks because, as you said, the economics are there. They look good, and these are solid companies. And as I was saying, they're probably going to raise the dividends that they just cut last year and, like, kick everybody off. So I think, we'll see money rotate into the oil industry sooner or later anyway.
All right, one other sector that we should talk about. I still get a lot of comments about the uranium sector. There have been a couple companies that have done well, and in all fairness, I think the stocks broadly have outperformed the lack of really a great price appreciation in uranium broadly. How are you viewing the uranium sector when it comes to the stocks?
Yeah, well, I'm in it, but cautiously. You know, we had that tremendous run-up in, like, December, which was fantastic. And now that's slowly pulling back. Now it just might pull back to support, you know, because nothing travels in a straight line. And this is like the thing with rare earths. We can look at the coming supply-demand squeeze in uranium and say, well, this is coming. We should get ahead of it. The problem in uranium is that this has been predicted for at least 7 years, right? And so when is this finally going to happen? I think it's going to happen sooner than later, but I wouldn't want to bet the house on it. So what I'll do is I'll be kind of selective, picking up things that I think look cheap here and there. You know, I mean, I own some uranium stocks and, like, that's good, but I'm not going to wake up and like say, what's going on in uranium today? That's what I say about usually my cannabis stock, you know, because they go crazy all the time. So it's like, oh, my God, wow. Whereas uranium stocks, you know, they seem to be kind of snoozing, kind of pulling back from those highs. It's a gentle, easy pullback, you know, but from what we saw in December, that's probably just a taste of what's to come. Once these stocks find a new bottom, they are going to head higher again because of those big supply demand fundamentals that, like, we have talked about more than once.
Yes, we have. And in all fairness, I feel like some of these supply demand fundamentals we've talked about over the past number of years, maybe even half dozen years. So maybe these will take hold. But again, Sean, these supply demand fundamentals, all the fundamentals, I've heard a lot of bullish arguments. Is that what we're waiting for? Finally, let's say supply to pretty much dry up on the market, and then maybe we get that spike higher that we've seen once before in uranium prices?
I think so. I mean, we just had Cameco shut down its North American operations again, right? So maybe that's it. We're also, and as with rare earths, we seem to keep coming back to that. We're looking for U.S. government action on uranium. They know that they can't have supplies dependent on foreign countries. They are going to do something about it. It's probably going to be huge cash injections somewhere. And so you can just take some positions ahead of that, but I wouldn't watch the stocks every day because you'll bore yourself to death. You know, I mean, just give these things some time, and hopefully what I expect is we'll see some real action in uranium this year. It will head significantly higher. I just can't predict when that will be.
All right. Well, Sean, I'll be chatting with you throughout this year. So when that starts happening, I'm sure we'll be talking about it. Sean, it's always great having you on the show. Thank you again for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. And if anybody wants Sean and I to discuss any stocks in, well, any of the sectors we discussed here or any of the other side sectors that we have discussed in the past, please just email me, fleck@kereport.com. Sean, thanks for your time today.
Thanks.